Well, let me add my welcome to Marcus's. It's great to welcome you here for this Christmas carol service. My name is Matt. I'm the assistant pastor here. Just a few thoughts for us in the next few minutes. Christmas is full of contrasts, isn't it? I don't know if you've noticed that. So contrasting traditions. Some countries do Christmas on Christmas Day. Some do it on Christmas Eve. I heard that in some bits of Germany and Spain, people hide pickles on the Christmas tree, and the first person to find the pickle on the Christmas tree gets an extra present under the tree. I don't know if that's... I think that's true. You've lived in Germany, haven't you? Just nod and say yes. Yes, Matt, that's right. People in Mexico, some people carve out of radishes nativity scenes. There's contrasting traditions. My tradition at Christmas is to sit down and to eat, and then eat a bit more, and then eat a little bit more and see if I can cram in that last little bit. But I've decided this year I'm going to change my tradition a little bit because the other day my two-year-old daughter walked in while I was sitting down changing a T-shirt, and she literally didn't have the vocabulary to describe what she was seeing. I had to teach her the vocabulary fat rolls. She was going, "Lines, Daddy, lines." I was like, "No, fat rolls, fat rolls." And she repeated it to me a number of times. I am now going to be a lot more careful with what I eat this Christmas. People have different Christmas traditions. People have different approaches to the Christmas story. So some think just a load of fun. So up on the screen, this is what someone's done with a nativity scene this year. So this is the hipster nativity set. So there's Joseph taking a selfie with Mary. There's the wise men coming in on Segways with Amazon Prime under their arm. The shepherd on the left, I don't know what he's doing. Maybe he's listening to the angels' song on his iPad, and there's a solar panel on the roof just to top off the look. Some people think, you know, Christmas, you know, it's nice. It's nice for the kids. Some nice morals in there, but come on. Just give me a break on the whole angels thing. Contrasting opinions about the Christmas message. Contrasting feelings at Christmas. It's a bit of a marker post in people's lives, isn't it, as they look back on the year. Apparently some call centres now for different things stay open on Christmas Day, and you'd think they'd struggle to get the staff and there'd be an uproar. But actually, those shifts are taken very quickly because there are lots of people who would rather forget the day of Christmas. It's a painful memory for them, and they'd rather be at work. Lots can't wait to see the back of 2016, it's fair to say, isn't it? Celebrity deaths, politics, commuter chaos, Gary Lineker in his underwear, if you're a Match of the Day watcher. Lots want to forget 2016. Contrasting opinions about Christmas. In our passage in front of us, contrasting rulers. This passage turns on contrasts between two rulers. First up, Caesar Augustus, verse 1. There he is in the Senate, this almighty dictator. He's such august company, people still say. We still name a month after this guy, Caesar Augustus. And what do people with lots of power and wealth like to do? Well, they like to count it so they can tell everyone else how much power and wealth they've got. So he orders this census to be taken. And 2 verse 3, just to make sure we're getting this right, let's just have everyone go back to their hometowns, just so we can get the counting right. Now, commuting, it might be bad in London at the moment, but it was even worse back then. 70 miles on a donkey, heavily pregnant. Caesar's little subjects, they were just pawns to be moved around the board. He didn't care about them. They were there to make him look good. He even gave himself the title, the Son of the Divine, apparently. I'm God, everyone bow to me. That was this ruler, Caesar Augustus. Now, most leaders today, they don't go that far, right? Kim Jong-il has, but no one else has gone quite that far. But you can sometimes find people who are acting in the same genre. I was reading about the boss who, for team bonding, got his employees to cut out, laminate, design, send all the invitations and menus for his amazing family barbecue he was hosting. And then he didn't invite any of them. They just had to sit there the whole day and work through the task he set them. Some even dare to suggest that some of our political leaders or political leaders around the world have been putting themselves first this Christmas and acting like other people are there to serve them rather than them to serve other people. But I said it was contrasting leaders. You've got Caesar Augustus and you've got Jesus. Now, to start off with, he doesn't look like much of a ruler, does he? Luke goes out of his way to show us his weakness. Often, you can tell a lot about a person by their arrival. So Caesar Augustus would have been there at the head of a triumph with all these defeated enemies behind him. Look how mighty I am. A celebrity, maybe, would turn up on the red carpet, trying to look as glamorous as possible. Lady Gaga turned up in that meat dress. I'm not sure what that says about her, but Jesus' arrival doesn't seem to say that much. He's there, this helpless little pawn moved around the board, a little baby wrapped up by his mum, placed in a manger, an animal feeding trough, an animal shelter, no room in the inn. Doesn't look like much of a leader. But we know at Christmas time that appearances can be deceiving. So, you know, your brother buys a massive box and then puts inside it a box and a box and a box and a box and a present from the 99p store. And you were really excited about the massive present under the tree, and then you realise your brother's played the trick. Sometimes, though, appearances can be deceiving, and it's that little present under the tree that's got the diamond necklace or the Emirates season tickets, if you're thinking about what to get me for Christmas this year. An amazing package. Luke, in his eyewitness evidence, as you read on in Luke's gospel, he says, don't be deceived by the weakness. At points he goes out of the way to say, look how weak he looks. And then he says, no, but look at how powerful he really is. He comes from the kingly line of David. Verse 11 tells us he's the Messiah, the King, the Lord. This army of angels descend and sing his praises as he comes. And as he grows up, he walks on water. He calms a storm at a word. He raises the dead. I guess we've all got to decide what happened 2,000 years ago that reset the calendar in the West. Something happened. Who was this man that looked so weak, so pathetic, and yet had such an impact? Who was he? Not just contrasting leaders, but leaders with contrasting approaches to their subjects. Luke wants to say Jesus is choosing to be weak so that he could serve his subjects. Verse 11 spelled it out. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This leader is choosing weakness to be a Saviour. And we'll get to what that means in a moment. But sometimes you can tell a lot about a person, not just about a person as they arrive, but about the person to whom they are arriving. Does that make sense? So sometimes someone's arrival can tell you a lot about the person to whom they are arriving. So I was sitting in bed the other day, and my wife Mary walked in holding a pair of hair clippers in her hand, and she handed them to me very deliberately. And that doesn't tell you much about Mary, but it does tell you something about me, that I am what they call follically challenged. I don't know what happened, actually. I was 7 years ago, I think, I was down on one knee proposing to Mary, svelte body, full head of hair. The moment she said yes, my body just went, okay, and relax. hair was gone, belly out. I need to cut my hair, it turns out. I have not only the traditional island theme developing at the front here, I've now developed this river down the middle of my island thing, which if I let it grow too much, it just starts to look like horns, and that's not a good look for people who work for churches, it turns out. That's a long way of saying the manner of someone's arrival, a long, long way of saying the manner of someone's arrival, can tell you something about you. If someone screeches up to you with blue flashing ambulance lights, it tells you something about you. Jesus' arrival as a saviour, it tells us something about us, that we are people who need saving. I don't know if you've seen the latest NatWest advert. There's this voiceover all the way through of the contrasts within each one of us. So it starts off, we are thoughtful. And it's got this shot of a kid sharing his ice cream with his little brother. And then it says, we are thoughtless. Someone chucks rubbish out a car window. We are visionaries. Picture of Charlie Chaplin. We are blind. A whole load of people walking past a homeless person on the streets. We are responsible. A parent carrying a kid. We are responsible. A whole sheet of ice falling into the sea at the North Pole. And it goes on. We are kind. We are cruel. We are creative. We are destructive. We are brave. We are stupid. We are heroes. We are villains. What pictures would run in your ad? The kindness as we care for a family member. The cruelty as we weaponize our words. We need to see the line between good and evil runs through the middle of every human heart. Political observers down the centuries have said this. A society often ends up with the leaders it deserves. A society gets the leaders it deserves. So we grew up as the entitled little centre of our universe. What's in it for me? What do I get out of it? Well, why should people socialise in that kind of environment? Why should they start acting any differently when they get into power? That's the theory. And look, Jesus couldn't be clearer. We need a saviour, not just because we need power to change for the better. We also need forgiveness for our past, present, future failings. God loves service of others. He loves it. He upholds it. And he hates it when we hurt others, when we refuse his rule, and saying, I will not love God, and I will not love my neighbour as myself. We ask to be rejected by him as we reject him. We deserve to all be rejected by God into eternity. But we need a saviour, and that is the leader that has been sent. How do we get the leader we don't deserve? We get that in the person of Jesus. It's not just the manner of arrival that tells you about a person, it's the manner of their departure. That tells you something. The king goes out with a fanfare or whatever it is. Mariah Carey took diva to a whole new level a while back at President Obama's inauguration meal. She ran out in a huff because she'd been invited, but she wasn't seated on the same table as the Obamas. And she was just like, that's it. I'm out of here. And that tells you, the manner of her departure tells you something about her, right? The manner of Jesus' departure tells us a lot about him. That Jesus is this one person, all of who God is, channeled down into this one person, accepting weakness as he comes to earth, allowing himself to be wrapped up in swaddling cloth and laid down in the grubbiness of an animal trough. Well, as he dies, he lets the same thing happen. All of who God is funneled down into this one man. He dies on a cross, and he lets people take him down, clothe him in cloth, and lay him in the grubbiness, not just of a trough, but of a tomb. The Bible says he does that to be our saviour. Jesus, as he dies, as he prepares for his death the day before, says, this is my body given for you. I'm taking the rejection that you deserve. Caesar says to tens of thousands of his subjects, serve me, die for me on the battlefield, expand my empire. This is the one leader who says, no, I will die for you. Hanging there, all of God's settled hostility against all that is wrong, funneled down onto this one person at this one point in history, that we could be forgiven. How do we get the leader we don't deserve? Well, we come to Jesus this Christmas. We trust him We obey him. And then he becomes not only our salvation, but our inspiration, that we would lay down ourselves to serve others as we play a version of follow the leader, if you like. At the end of Christmas, in our family, we do what most families do, I guess. We get a cardboard box labelled Christmas, and we pile in all the decorations that have been making our house look nice for the last few weeks. It's just brightened up a corner of our life. But then in it goes, and back in the loft, and it will stay there for the rest of the year. Now, what are we going to do with Jesus? Maybe Jesus will be placed in a box marked irrelevant, or a box marked just for Christmas. If Luke's right, if he really is this saviour and king of everything, well, that would just be, that wouldn't make any sense, would it? I guess there'd be lots of people in the room who you wouldn't call themselves Christian, or wouldn't say they've made Jesus the centre point of their lives. Well, can I at least say, why not take him out of the box marked completely irrelevant and put him in a box marked, I don't know what you want to mark it, something like, I've got to stop and take a second look at this. Or it's a lot to write on a box. But I've got to go out and I'm going to read one of the accounts of Jesus' life. I'm going to read Luke's Gospel. You can take away a copy from the table at the back. And I'm going to read it as an adult and see what I make of these claims, rather than just relying on second-hand hearsay or my childhood memories. Why not take it away? Why not join us for a Christianity Explore course? Why not engage our mental faculties and think these things through? These are claims about what really happened 2,000 years ago, and it's on us to weigh up the eyewitness evidence and see what we make of it. So do make the most of that opportunity. There's a copy of John, and there are copies of Luke there on the table for you to take away, and a booklet inside your service sheet, so you'd be very welcome. Thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you enjoy singing the rest of the carols, and you'll stick around for mulled wine and mince pies afterwards. But now we stand to sing our next song.